The conference is now being recorded.
Good afternoon, and I would like to welcome everyone to the Jupiter Mines Quarter Two call. Today we have Jupiter Chief Executive Officer Priyank Thapliyal to provide a brief update on the second quarter of the 2021 financial year. We will then open up to questions from callers. Go ahead, please, Priyank. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome once again to the second quarter Jupiter Mines conference call. I think I would like to start off by saying that the first quarter was all about how we were able to mitigate the lockdown in South Africa on account of the COVID. And the second quarter was largely focused on how we can successfully come back from that lockdown and try to achieve the targets which we had set for ourselves at the start of this financial year. And I think the numbers largely reflect that, both on the production side, but more on the sales side, because the sales was the critical thing which was hampered during the course of the lockdown. If you look at the numbers for the first half of this financial year, we have produced close to 1.5 million tons of ore. Out of that, 1 million tons is the high-grade material, which again is 85-15% split between the lump and the fine, and about 500,000 tons was on the low-grade product. We railed about 1.5 million tons to the port, and out of that 1.5 million tons, we were able to sell about 1.2 million tons over the course of this first half. The breakdown is roughly, again, 1 million ton of high-grade material and about 250,000 tons of low-grade material in terms of sales. Then if we look at the financial numbers in the second half, in the first half of this year, we had a net operating profit of around 37 million. There is a loss in the second quarter of 9 million, but that is largely because about 150,000 tons of material was rolled over from end of August into early September. So while we incurred the cost, the revenue was only realized after that. And on top of that, we had about $25 million worth of tax which we paid in the second quarter, and about $11 million worth of royalties which we paid in the second quarter. The royalties and the taxes are paid every 6 months in South Africa. So that is what we have achieved. We are still aspiring to sell about 3 million tons of material over the course of this year. And the plan is that we will try to target about 2.7 million tons of high-grade material and about 300,000 to 400,000 tons of low-grade material. Then the other big issue which hampered the operations of the mine was, because of the lockdown, we were not able to mobilize some of the extra equipment. That equipment has now been received at the mine, and we hope to be able to achieve all the targets which we had set for the team in terms of the backlog by the end of this calendar year. We were also able, because of the rapid turnaround of the operations post the lockdown, to build a substantial amount of stockpile. So we have about 500,000 tons of material lying at the mine and another 500,000 tons at the different ports. So we should be able to achieve, again, our sales target despite these backlogs on account of the equipment delay. In terms of logistics, I think the two challenges primarily have been, firstly, on account of congestion at the port, which is leading to some rollover of the shipments. As I just now mentioned, about 150,000 tons was rolled over from the second quarter to the start of September. And that congestion problem is still there. And we hope that by November or December of this year, Transnet should be back to its original plan. But that said, we are trying to move substantial amounts of tons now on the road, and the target for our 3 to 3.1 million tons which we have for this financial year is roughly 1.7 million tons would be on the Transnet metal rail, and 1.4 million tons would be on the road. As I have sketched out earlier, though, does now comprise of two components. One is to the port of Lewis, where you have to truck to the border. It will be around 600,000 tons, and 800,000 tons would be on the trucks within South Africa. So that said, we are still trying to achieve, set ourselves a target to achieve about the $2.20 per DMTU cost which we have set for ourselves. What I think we have also announced to the market is that the board of Chippy met about a few weeks ago, and at that board meeting we have declared a dividend of 330 million rands. We have retained substantial amount of cash within the operations, firstly to mitigate the challenges of the COVID, so we have kept a healthy cash buffer to face those challenges. We have also kept aside about 170 million rand for the catch up on the mining, which I just now mentioned. And on top of that, we have kept aside about 200 million rand for the capex, both the ongoing and also to prepare for the expansion plan, which we have announced to the market. In terms of marketing, I think the primary challenge which all manganese producers have faced is that the only place where there is robust demand is China. The steel growth over there compared to last year is roughly 4% higher than financial year 2019. But the rest of the world is substantially lagging behind. The steel production in the rest of the world is down approximately 14 to 15% compared to the same time last year. So what we are seeing is that a lot of the manganese ore which would have been sold in the rest of the world is also going into China, and China is currently sitting with close to 6.5 million tons of stockpile at the port, which is roughly 2.5 to 3 million tons of production in China. So we do not see any change coming on that front anytime soon until we can see substantial growth in the steel production and the steel demand in the rest of the world. But that said, with our costs at the $2.20 levels, we are profitable, and with what we have retained within Chippy, before we declare the 330 million rand dividend, the Jupiter board will be meeting at the end of October to take a decision on the dividend which we can pay out to our shareholders for the first half of this financial year. But where things stand, based on what we have retained within Chippy, my inclination is that the board would pretty much follow what they have done over the last 2 years since our listing. So we anticipate to pay out a healthy dividend when we meet at the end of October to declare our financial year's first half results. The other progress which we have announced to the market is that we believe that we should spin off our iron ore assets, and we as the board have decided to do that in the form of an IPO. The work on that is progressing. We are doing whatever we can do internally to finalize the structure. And again, in the course of the next month or two, we should come back to the market with some announcements on that front. But we will make sure that the shareholders of Jupiter who have backed us for years are properly taken care of, and would most likely be provided with some sort of entitlement as and when that structure is finalized and announced. So that's largely what I wanted to say in terms of the second quarter and the first half of this financial year, and I'm more than happy to take any questions now.
Thank you. Guests are invited to ask questions by pressing star one on your telephone keypad now. Guests will hear a tone as you join the queue. Please listen for your name and I will introduce you through to the call. Thank you, Priyank. Our first question is from Richard Cho from Storage. Just one moment, I'll join you through, Richard. Go ahead, please, Richard. You can ask your question.
Yeah, just wondering in terms of the 150K that was going into the September quarter, if that went through in August, how would have affected the operating cash? Can you give an estimate of what the operating cash would have been if that had gone through as planned in August?
Well, I don't have the number in front of me. I'll have to probably come back to you. But all the costs was basically paid for in the second quarter. So roughly it would be 150,000 tons times the $3.40 or $3.50 price which we'd have achieved.
Okay. So would you say that in quarter three that you'd expect the operating cash flow to return to positive?
Yes, I think the other thing which I mentioned was that we paid 36 million rand, $36 million Australian worth of tax and royalties in the second quarter. So if you add that back, there was not an operating cash loss. So we pay the tax and the royalties every 6 months, so that has to be also accounted for. But yes, those numbers will be reflected in the third quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Once again, guests are invited to ask a question by pressing star one on your telephone keypad now. Frank, we'll just wait a moment, please. I don't have anyone left in the queue, but we'll still taking questions by pressing star one on your telephone keypad. Terrific. We have Trent Barnett. Go ahead, please, Trent. You can now ask your question.
Hi, Frank. I just want your comments around the dividend. So does that mean you might pay, obviously you usually pay out almost everything that Shippy distributes to you, but may you pay out some more sort of additional given the cash balance on the Jupiter balance sheet?
But Trent, as I said, we have retained sufficient cash within Shippy to weather this COVID storm, plus also do whatever CapEx and the mining backlog catch-up we have to do. So suffice to say, I think Chippy has been left well capitalized, and whatever has been paid out, we have received a half share, and I see no reason why we should be keeping anything back from what we have received from Chippy to pay it out as dividend to the shareholders. But that decision will be formally taken, all the evaluation will be done, like we have done towards the end of October, when we finalize the accounts and declare the dividend. So yes, I think we will probably be close to what we have paid out historically, 90% plus, 100% close to payout ratio.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from John Schatz from Macquarie. Go ahead, please, John.
Hi there, guys. Just querying about the iron ore IPO. So, I mean, what's the timeline we're looking at on that at the moment? And if you can just give me an idea on what port would that sort of go out with? I mean, I'm looking at where it's located on the map and just trying to figure out some logistics.
Yeah, John, I think we have set ourselves a target to try to complete this IPO by end of this financial year. But that depends on some factors which are not within our control, but that is still the target which we are chasing. And as we have said, the Yilgarn assets, the logical port through which the shipment has to go out is the port of Esperance. But again, we are looking at, apart from Esperance, what other options exist for the product out of Mount Mason.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Our next question is from Richard Cho. Richard is back again from storage. Go ahead, please, Richard.
Yeah, could you explain the Section 54 notice and what that's related to? Is that related to COVID or is it something else?
So Section 54 is a technical term which is used in South Africa, and what it largely means is that the Department of Mineral Resources comes and visits the mines, mostly unannounced, and if they see something which does not meet their criteria, then they have the legal power to give you notice and put the operations under notice and potentially stop them, and you have to go and then satisfy that you have done everything which is possible to mitigate those issues, and once they are satisfied, they lift the Section 54 and you come back into operation.
And are you able to elaborate what it was in relation to for this notice? Was there anything in particular that they picked up?
No, I think, again, I mean, they picked up the things which are in the report about some of the drilling and blasting activities, the pit hole roads. But the reality is that we have been operating on this basis for the last 4 or 5 years since we built the mine. And in the past, those issues were not picked up. And whenever the inspection was done, the inspectors were happy. And I think it's also a judgment call. Every inspector probably has a different perspective on these things. So it wasn't anything critical, as I think the report says. Those issues were highlighted. We presented to them. We made some changes. Section 54 was lifted. It didn't have any impact on our operations. That's why we didn't revise the guidance. So this is part and parcel of operating in South Africa.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Once again, guests are invited to ask a question by pressing star one on their telephone keypad now. At this stage, Priyank, we have no further questions.
Well, on that note, I would once again like to thank all of you for dialing in. Thank you.